Any questions on what we've covered so far? Anybody want to make a comment? Jim?
I just wanted to comment on the fact that the major source of, our major source of unconditional love is animals,
yes.
Especially cats and dogs. We rarely get total unconditional love from another human being.
even if they want to give it. Even if our spouses or our parents or our children, even if they want to, sometimes we're all human. We just can't. Thank you, Tom. One thing I want to show you, I tried to put it on this morning, but it didn't fit on me. Many years ago, our Alice was giving a presentation out at La Casa, and she was wearing this little pin, which I thought it was A.S., I-S, and I thought it was ASIS. So I was going to go over and ask her, what's this? Is this short for ASIDI? And then I looked at it better, and it's as is. And Alice gave this most beautiful explanation that took me, when I was in religious life, many, many years to grasp. God loves us as is. And this is particularly hard in religious life because of the notion of perfection. Not being the perfected, but, and not even striving, you know, just being perfect. So, moving right along. There's me on entrance day. As I make my own. Isn't that just darling? I just love that slide. And yeah, the glasses. And I used to wear glasses, so that was definitely a part of it. However, our cross wasn't there. It was actually woven into a scapula that we had. And you know, I want to say something. My 16 years in religious life were good years. Really good years, for the most part. Not perfect, not always happy at all. But I did receive a rooting and a grounding in an effort to try to be open to grace that I wouldn't have gotten anywhere else. So I don't regret those days. I don't regret that period in my life. That being said, when I was a novice, this appeared on my desk one day. The Spiritual Life, a Treatise on Ascetical and Mystical Theology by the Very Reverend Adolf Tanqueray. The book was about this big, and the novice mistress had put it on my desk. And I'll just read you just a little bit so you have a sense of how we were thinking in those days. It is the perfection of the Christian life which constitutes the proper object of ascetical and mystical theology. A God of all goodness vouchsafed to give us not only the natural life of the soul, but also a supernatural life, the life of grace. The latter is a sharing of God's very life, as we have shown in our treatise, De Gratia. You know, if he just stopped there, but he goes on and on and on. I mean, I think it's really patterned a lot on St. Thomas. And I went to her because I was frankly hoping that she had meant to place it. Each of us had an assigned desk. We didn't have, you know, the day that you entered and the time that you entered designated your place in that group. One gal entered 5 minutes after I did. She was always behind me in the lineup. Anyway, I was hoping that my novice mistress had meant this for somebody else. And she didn't. She said, oh, sister, I think it would be good for you to read that. And, well, moving right along. We have Charlie Brown and Lucy. And Lucy says, where are you going, Charlie Brown? And Charlie says, Peppermint Patty's team is short of glove, so I'm walking over to lend them mine. And Lucy replies, you're kidding. Don't you think they're taking advantage of you? And Charlie says, no, I'm doing it because I want to. And she responds, what are you, some kind of mystic? This is Offa. This example here is Offa. It's a cairn, which is a mound of stones that are piled up as a memorial or to mark a boundary or path. And when I first saw this, I thought, I know this is very popular in Ireland, but what I want to do is to show you how it has been a part of my prayer, because each stone represents a different part of my prayer life. And I want to move ahead just quickly, and where's Joanne? Would you share? Joanne shared something really beautiful many years ago at Word and Life with the small group in which we were in. And I have never forgotten it. And I asked her if she would be willing to share with us what she said. It was many years ago.
Thank you, Mary. Well, it was about 1975. And
closer.
It was about 1975, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was crying, and Gary asked me what the matter was, and I said, well, I just feel so far from God. I know I'm a good Catholic, and I don't kill anybody, do the big sins, and say prayers, morning prayers and evening prayers, but I just feel like there's something missing. I mean, a pagan, what's the difference between me and a pagan? And so he comforted me, and then I saw an ad for, it was in the San Roque Bulletin, for a day of renewal, a charismatic day of renewal. And I didn't know what that was all about, but circumstances led up to my wanting to go. And Gary wasn't too interested, but I made arrangements for the children. We had five children at the time, and to be babysat. But we went over in separate cars because he was working, and he thought, well, maybe he'd come just for half a day. So we went over there, and the first thing we saw was these people in the parking lot hugging each other, and that was very unusual. And then we saw Father Rowan, Father, what's his first name?
Francis
Rowan, standing in the front of the church, and that gave us the confidence to go in, because he was the one who witnessed our marriage in 1960. So we went in, and there was singing going on, beautiful singing, and Father Pat Crowley was the presenting priest. And he spoke about the Holy Spirit and from Scripture, and I was just riveted to my seat, and I couldn't turn my head one way or the other. It was just so enthralling what he was saying. It just struck me so much. And the day went, we had Mass, and Gary stayed for that. And then he decided to stay for the afternoon, too. There was more prayer and singing and Father giving his talk. And then Father said, well, you can leave now, or if you want to pray among yourselves, you can do that. Well, we weren't used to praying with anybody else in public, and just raced at home. So we were about to bolt, but a young woman asked if we would pray with her, and so we couldn't say no. So we held hands, and she was praying softly under her breath, and she'd say some comforting phrases, and I tried to say the Our Father. That's all I could, you know, I was trying to pray, but I didn't know what to say, so I said the Our Father. And then all of a sudden, I was sitting in God's lap, and I didn't notice anything else. I mean, you know, I was just out of it. And he was delighting in me. And I felt this love that was nothing like no other kind of love I'd ever felt before. And it was just, I knew that no matter what I did, this love would always be there. And when I came out of it, I thought, oh God, that's a rhetorical question. Do you really love us that much? Because I knew that he loved each one of us that much. And I could do anything, well, not that I want to, but that was the experience of unconditional love. Yeah. A beautiful grace.
Thank you very much.
Can I add just an anecdote?
Sure.
Very brief. The young woman who turned towards us to pray with us, Patty Wilmore, I think probably some of you remember Patty. And I was still about ready to bolt, but she had my hand, and we started to pray. And I still thought there'd be a moment I could probably ease out. But she was weeping. And I thought how strong this experience is for her. She was drying her eyes and... And so anyway, I asked her about, I stayed because of that. I thought, well, there's something that I'm perhaps not receiving yet. But I talked to her quite some time later and asked her how, I was touched by how moved she was. And she said, no, I had a bad sinus condition. So God has a sense of humor.
What do you see in this slide?
Three dots.
What else?
A lot of white space.
Who said that? Good. It took me a long time to realize that this is probably, we hope, how God sees us. We see the three dots, which is parts of us, of each of us, that isn't healed or isn't whole, or isn't even identified. Don talked at one point about the shadow. Father Jim alluded to it last week. There's parts of us, it's like our eyes. We can't see our own blind spots. Pam and I both worked in the Eye Center at Cottage for many years, preceded by many years at St. Francis Operating Room, where we did eye surgery. That was a real specialty, still is. But we cannot see our own blind spots. None of us can. And so in a way, this is what we are. But God sees the white. God sees all of it. But there's more white. Just as Joanne said, there's grace and love more than abounding. Rohr says it too. And there's always more grace than we recognize. Then there's the grace of Costco. Costco is the only place that I go to on a frequent basis where I tend to meet people. And lots of Borden lifers, lots of others. But there is a grace about Costco. And I think that needs to be acknowledged.
Costco will be happy
with that club. Unfortunately, I don't get a commission. Okay. This is a wonderful little scene. Somebody sent me a whole series of these. These little hummingbirds, this lady sat for several months out in her backyard holding this little red dish. You can see she has her hand propped on her fist. And the hummingbirds in her area learned to come. They learned to trust that she was there for them. She was there to feed them. I see her as Mother God. God waits and waits and waits for us. And sometimes we come, and sometimes we don't. Now we're going to take a little different shift. This appeared in the National Catholic Reporter a couple of months ago. Maybe some of you saw it.
Yep.
Yeah, Harriet said, do you recognize who that is?
Rose, however you pronounce his name, the fellow
who's
doing the investigation. The gentleman.
Notice the train. We're coming up on the train. This is Cardinal Rode praying the preparatory prayers for Mass. This is from the throne on which he was sitting in the previous life, is processing to the chapel. Now, I hope you can see that his train goes all the way and then comes down. Almost 5 feet they're hanging. I don't think Diana's train was that long.
That's an
ermine
cape he's wearing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think. Maybe.
I'm not sure, Alice. Probably the white part would be, but the train is what caught my eye. All those girls in here who have been there, all these ladies, how many of you have worn a train even remotely resembling that? And then we come to the culmination. Mass is underway. I have counted this picture 3 times. I have come up with 18 men. And with their backs to us, and in gold brocade, and with various accoutrements, candles, and I'm sure this guy is holding a censer in there with incense. This is Mass. This isn't something that was popular when we were kids, boys and girls. This is now.
My wife wrote, an ermine by any other name is still a weasel.
Well, when you look at this, and there's no women, in case anybody had any misgivings or any thoughts to the contrary, that's kind of the response. And then she says, a woman's place is in the house. Oh,
see, there was a third picture those two pictures, and there was a third one of him actually giving out communion.
I didn't.
People kneeling.
I just couldn't.
To catch the crumbs.
I just couldn't do it. And there we are.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Isn't this incredible? The woman is carrying a huge bundle of sticks. The man is strolling a foot and a half ahead of her, smoking.
I'm
sorry? I don't know where it is. These came from all over. Yeah. And then we find, despite the liturgy that we just witnessed briefly, we must love them both. Those whose opinions we share, and those whose opinions we reject. For both have labored in the truth, searched for truth, and both have helped us in the finding of it. Anybody, I know it's from Aquinas. Does anybody recognize where that is? Jane, La Casa de Maria, the back of the chapel, the big chapel. I want to talk just briefly about self blessings, because Sister Rosemary Daugherty, I think it was she, identifies self blessings as those events and circumstances which occur in our lives which we immediately perhaps don't recognize as blessings. And I'm going to skip over quite a bit because it's more important for us to hear each other's story than it is for you to hear me rattling on. I want to share one about Mary Becker. In 2005, 5 years ago, I had completed my Centerpoint program in 2003, of which Martha was my facilitator, director for the second year of the 3-year program. Dawn was one of the founders of it. It would take me the whole another session to tell you about that program and the graces that I have received through it, and through these two women. But in 2005, 3 years later, I received a phone call, and let's see if I... Okay, I'm going to advance it just a bit. There are at least several phone calls in one's life that carry messages after which life is never the same. And this is by one of my most favorite authors, Anne Lamott. If you haven't read her works, treat yourself. I received a phone call from the person who was the executive director of Centerpoint, which is now known as Stillpoint. And he had been a classmate of mine in our program. Diane is also a classmate and graduate at that time. And he said, would you be willing to consider being the new head of Centerpoint 3? And at first I thought he was kidding. And I said, oh, Chris, gosh, I don't know. Well, cutting to the chase, after much consultation and not enough prayer, I said yes. And all that summer, the summer of 2005, I struggled. Not with the administrative part. That part was easy. I had challenges with, guess what, the people. So, finally, I was realized that it was my first thought on waking and my last thought at night, and I was just really, you know how something just weighs on you all day long? I went for a walk, and I said to Jesus, Lord, and I still call him Lord. I've called him Lord for most of my 68 years. Not easy to change now and substitute God, because Lord is more personal for me. I said, Lord, how would it feel if, he said to me, how would it feel if you let this burden go? And I immediately felt, and then my next thought was, and I said to him, Lord, who shall we send? Because it was fairly close to the start of the program, which was going to be in September. And this was either the end of July or middle of August, I'm not sure which. And immediately, Mary Becker's name came to me. Immediately, it was like God had hit me on the head and said, Mary. I also added Gary, because I knew both of them are spiritual directors, extraordinarily involved in things on this planet, not just Santa Barbara, worldwide. They're just amazing people. But I knew that Mary Becker was the woman. I called Chris as soon as I got back home, and I said, Chris, I have to retire. I have to resign. It's not a good fit. And I said, and in resigning, retiring, whatever you want to call it, I have a replacement in mind. And he said, who? And I said, Mary Becker. And I said, I know she's busier than you are, God, but she would be my suggestion. And he said, well, you know, it's interesting. Just the day before, he had met with Mary. Mary's on the board of Stillpoint. And Mary had expressed interest in group work. There she is. There she is. Thank you, Mary. Thank you. I want to show you just a little bit about how tough grace is. This is a plant that I have at my home. I don't know if you can see it. It's a Sansevieria, also known as mother-in-law's tongue, because the leaves are great, strappy, tough things. You see the little thing in front here? I don't know if you can. Let me do it on the next slide. This is what it looks like from the side. Now, this plant punched through this, and you can see the plastic is fairly thick. See the white band at the top? That's rigid, rigid plastic. This plant, I noticed the little bump there, and I thought, oh, it's just a root trying to find more space. It kept going. It is now almost as tall as the entire plant. And to me, it's a perfect example in my own home, constantly, daily reminding me how hard God tries to get through to me. Just floating through plastic. And we did that one. This is one. Thank you. And what this is called, There I Fixed That, or There I Fixed It. It's a picture of a sink. And obviously the support is gone. So what the person has done is taken the stool, and it's still not enough. So they have put two boards on top of the stool and up on the edge of the sink so that it doesn't collapse. And then there's a sign here on the stool that says, please do not move stool. The grace of the bathroom. We get on, I'm going to just skip, oh, this one, I just want to come. Alice, this is the beautiful, beautiful African violet you gave all of us, many of us who had helped you on the team 2 years ago. It's still blooming beautifully with really almost benign neglect. But I think, again, this is how grace acts in us. We don't realize that somehow what we're doing just keeps growing. Takes a lot of faith. Roy gets into the resented banquet, and I don't have nearly enough time to cover everything, but I did want to show, this is, if you haven't rented Babette's Feast, I'll let you do that on your own. I was going to try to include part, but it's too much. But this is the banquet, and then she has clearly helped herself, only to find that wasn't a chicken. And then bringing it on a worldwide scale, if you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world. Mm-hmm. And certainly when we look at what has happened in Haiti, in Chile, there was another earthquake yesterday, I think it was Taiwan. There will always be a Haiti, there will always be a Taiwan, and yet we need faith, hope, and trust that somehow we are where we should be. I'm going to share this a little bit. I don't know if any of you recognize who this is. It's Irina Sendler. She just died. She was a wonderful Catholic social worker. She was 98. And there was a movie of her with, who's that? The gal on the piano, the little one. Anna Paquin. Maybe you saw it on television. This, to me, is far more important than the trying to canonize certain popes. She rescued more than 2,500 Jewish children from the Warsaw Ghetto. She did it by sneaking them out in her nursing bag. She put some of them, they were sedated, and put in coffins. And they were just driven out of the ghetto because the guards thought they were dead, and then the children would be revived. Trudy? A toolbox, yeah. Yeah, that's right, sorry. She was a plumber's assistant. And in 1943, Irina was arrested by the Gestapo, severely tortured, and sentenced to death. Her arms and legs were broken, but she did not give away the names of those she had rescued. Like Oscar Schindler, Irina kept lists of the names of her 2,500 children in order to reconnect them with family members and save their identity. She kept these lists in a jar under an apple tree. 98. I don't know how many of you have broken a bone. I broke a foot bone about 2 years ago, and it was so painful, I could hardly walk. And they couldn't find it on an x-ray. Finally, the break got so bad, it did. They were able to see it. But I just can't imagine how she could have done what she did with both arms and legs and feet broken. This is just a reminder. There is always going to be, when we don't want to forget, never forget, as Elie Wiesel says, the little baby hanging on to probably the grandmother. And I wanted to share one little bit about this. My husband's first wife, she died in an accident in 1986. She had grown up in Austria. She had an older sister. She was 16 and her sister was 18. Their parents had been told that the following day, if they were Jewish, they were going to be sent to one of the concentration camps. The parents took the only two things of value that they had at that point, which were two rings. They gave them to neighbors who were not Jewish and said, please take care of our daughters. And these people accepted the rings. The parents were hauled off and killed in one of the camps. And then they kicked the girls out. They made their way to America, eventually, through both Canada and coming down, working as maids and whatever they could do. And my husband's first wife became one of three women nuclear physicists in the United States. And I'm just amazed at how far the grace of life carried her. And then she was killed very quickly in an accident. But it's, you know, there are tremendous, tremendous stories that we all have. Each one of us sitting here has a story, many stories. This is a group of women in Afghanistan, in Helmand province. You know, there was fighting very recently in Marja. This is not in Marja. I received this email. It's from a very prominent doctor here in Santa Barbara. Lovely home in Hope Ranch. And he says, we are getting back on track and our Marines are busy with counterinsurgency operations here in Helmand province. I have moved to Khan Nation Castle and am now living large in a room with a cement floor. Now this is a guy who has a home in Hope Ranch. He went because if our young women and men are going to be over there, he wanted to be able to provide them with good medical care. And he's doing it. He goes on to say, we have water from a nearby well to do laundry, and once again, the Marines have built a gym using sandbags and lumber. Then he goes on to say, I have attached photos of a recent U.S. Marine Corps FETCAP, and FETCAP means Female Engagement Team Community Action Program, or Lionesses, and that's why it's titled Lionesses, held in nearby villages. Women Marines and sailors traveled to our base and joined us on village patrols in order to make contact with Afghan women. Until the Lionesses' arrival, you would have thought that Afghanistan was populated solely by men. The women remain in compounds when we are in the area, and we are cautioned not to try to communicate with women should we accidentally meet. Shades of Jesus time. The female engagement team leader is a remarkable young woman who is a former middle school principal who joined the Marine Corps 3 to 4 years ago. She has a 15-month-old daughter at home with her husband, but she was tireless in meeting with Afghan women. Typically, our lionesses were invited into the villagers' homes where the Afghan women were able to drop their veils and openly discuss their concerns. In some of the photos, you can see that the young Afghan men were also fascinated by the lionesses. And he concludes, programs like this, where the women come into the homes and talk with the Afghan women with their veils lowered, programs like this give us, the Marines, some hope that we may prevail if villagers feel secure. This is a tree across the street from where I live, and it's in winter. All the leaves are bare. The ones in front are just, it's from another part. But those fingers, that tree's fingers, remind me of the people in Haiti and Chile and probably Taiwan reaching up for aid. And this next slide is pretty hard to look at, but it's part of what's out there. It's a dump truck. I don't know if you can see it. This is a body. It's the hand reaching out, head first, and there's the leg. And that's the burial. Then we come to autumn of our own lives, and I'll really try to speed through this. Alice was the one that shared with me many years ago when she was going back to visit her parents. She was really struck by the trees. She was flying back to the East Coast, or Eastern area, and she said, I could see all the colors, reds and oranges and yellows and beautiful colors, and she said, I realized I was looking at death and how beautiful it is. So we're coming to the ends of our own lives eventually. We're all going to die. Nobody's getting out alive. And we close almost with this. My wife said, what you doing today? And he said, I said, nothing. She said, you did that yesterday. And he said, I wasn't finished. And then we have this. The woman is taking a picture of herself, but she's not intending to. And don't we all make mistakes? Karen is focused on her eye. And then this one is how I began to feel about PowerPoint and this presentation. I love the puppy. They be where they will. And then, as we approach our end, we're closer to the setting sun than we are to dawn in this life. And Rohr concludes, the universe is radical grace. Therefore, we do not need to be afraid. And that's me.